Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." The first part of that verse says, "Come and listen." That's an invitation. That's what this is. That's what Sunday service is. It's an invitation to do what? The psalmist says, "I have something to tell you. Please come and listen." This word, "come and listen," it carries the meaning of walk with me. I love you. I love spending time with you. You are personal to me, and I have something to share with you that is so important to me. The invitation is to those, it says, who fear God. Those who want to hear about God's work in their life. The psalmist is inviting those who are interested in spiritual conversations. What is it about Jesus that's changed your life? I see something different about you. Why would you get up and get baptized? The idea is someone wants to invite you to listen to what God has done in their life. And he says, "I will tell you what he did for me." The psalmist is excited to tell people what God has done for his soul. And follower of Jesus Christ, this should be all of us. The baptism service is such a great opportunity. Some publicly to tell of what Jesus has done for them. But it's also a call to every believer in this room to say, are you excited about sharing what Jesus has done for you? This should be a prayer of our hearts. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. He died for my sins, all of them, past, present, and future, so that I might have eternal life. What about you? There are five individuals who will be sharing their testimony of saving faith. The baptism water does not save them. The baptism waters is a symbol of what God has already done. He has given them a new life. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection makes your dead body come alive. This is an exciting time, but the waters of baptism don't save anybody. They are a public demonstration of what has already taken place in their lives. So we are blessed, aren't we, to be able to hear these five testimonies? And my hope and prayer is that those of you that are here, that are listening, to the believer, you would be challenged to publicly declare your faith to those people you love. And to those that are here that yet not believe what Jesus has done for them, my prayer is John 3:36, that you would believe in the Son, that you would turn from your sin of unbelief and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. That would be true thanksgiving. So let's get started. Daniel and Nicole, why don't you make your way up here? You can clap even before, sure. Daniel, you get to go first. Kick it off.
So, my life prior to salvation, I was raised Lutheran. In the church, I was baptized as a child, went all the way through Sunday school, confirmation in my hometown church. My parents always took me to church, and I always had a religion, but I never really felt like I had a relationship with God. When I graduated high school and I left my parents' house, went to college, I just kind of stopped going to church. It just wasn't a thing. Leading up to my salvation, all through college, I went to a couple of different churches and youth groups with friends, and I didn't really realize it until later, but God was just pursuing me through those people in my life. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget one of the hardest things I ever heard in my life. When I told my dad I wasn't sure what I believed in, he told me that he hopes that he can cherish the next 30 to 40 years with me. Because if I don't believe, then I won't get to spend eternity in heaven with him and with God. And I remember sitting in my parents' room hearing that and just seeing how it crushed my dad. And it never left me. It was such a tough thing to hear at the time, but it was the truth. That's where I was at. My salvation experience, fall of 2021, I met Nicole, my fiance and future wife. She asked me some really tough questions in those first few days about what I believed in. And I told her the truth. I told her that at the time I was raised with a religion, but I never felt like I had a relationship with God. I wasn't sure what I believed in. God was, again, putting the right people in my life. Through Nicole, I met Donna and Mark Curtis, who talked to me about Jesus and brought us to church. Once we got engaged, Pastor Greg led us through premarital counseling. And God continued to put the right people in my life. People who asked me hard questions made me think about my future and my salvation. One of the first services I remember when we came to High Point, another man gave a testimony about his wife, helping him develop a relationship with Christ, and how he was going to church for her, which led to his own salvation. July of 2023, I was in the shower, zoned out, listening to the radio, thinking about life. And through the radio, it just got real clear for me. The background noise with Smash Mouth's song, I'm a Believer. And I laughed out loud. I just said, God continued to give me the signs that I'd been asking for years. I just needed to open my eyes and my ears. God never stopped pursuing me, putting the right people in my life, but I had to make the choice to accept. There was nothing I could do to deserve Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me, but I'm already saved because he did. He's already done that. Evidence in my life since my salvation, I told my fiance about my belief shortly after, and she said she'd been praying and praying, and she thought there was a change in me. I told Pastor Greg and Mark Curtis at the Steak and Corn Feed later this summer, and we all shared my celebration. I remember being so nervous, but knowing it was the best decision for me. I wasn't doing it for my fiance or my parents, for the church. I finally knew it was just for me and for my relationship with Christ. Since accepting Christ, life doesn't really seem to be any easier. If anything, I feel more responsibility to live for Christ, help lead myself and my future family. One thing that has been so clear, no matter how much heavier and more full my schedule might get, my responsibilities, the weight just feels lighter. I can't explain it, but I know Christ will support and guide me. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
My life prior to salvation, I had a religion saved through efforts and works. Leading up to my salvation, April of 2020, things started to change. Things started to click. I fell into depression and anxiety. I struggled with crippling mental health. I knew I was not able to handle this on my own. I knew I needed to hand my worries over to God. Not only that, I lost my spot. but to believe and to have faith in what he can do. So I put my faith in Christ Jesus, knowing I am saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by my own efforts. Jesus died for my sins. I surrounded myself with people who I could see God in. I realized I was a sinner and needed saved from my sins so I can trust in him during my hard times. Some verses that I like that helped and still help me are Psalm 103:12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Yeah. And Psalm 51:9-10. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. At this time, I started to see glimpses of God's work in my life every day. My faith allowed me to conquer struggles in my life that Satan told me I could not do because of my depression. For example, my nightmares drastically started going away. That was a huge one for me. My evidence of new life since salvation. Honestly, my life has gotten tougher. Satan is trying so hard to take me back, and he's distracting Daniel and I from God through temptations and lies. But in exchange, there is an indescribable peace to it, knowing God died on the cross for my sins. I'm allowing God to work in my life, and that is evidence.
Amen. Amen. Great job. Good job, buddy. Great work. Great job. Praise the Lord. I think it's Mike and Diane, right? Diane, Mike. I forgot my little sheet.
All right. Good morning. I grew up in a Christian home and have felt close to God all my life. But it wasn't until about 5 years ago when God put it on our hearts to leave Iowa. That's when I really started to know God. There were times when I wondered if we were doing the right things. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 always came to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God took us to Texas, Virginia, and recently back to Iowa. In all those places, God led us to churches that spoke the truth and surrounded us with believers who believed and helped grow my faith and knowledge of Christ even more, and that knowing that God is in control and nothing surprises him. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God, I trust, and I am not afraid. Through spending time with God and believers and some awesome connection groups we have made here, I have learned and still learning the meaning of the love and grace of God. They are awesome. I'm not crying because they're not awesome, but they are. Okay. God's love was an action of taking that, painful death on the cross in my place. So today I profess my faith in Christ and commit myself to him.
You're great.
So my name's Mike Thatcher. I'm going to talk about how Jesus Christ has impacted my life. And because I'm an engineer, I got these bullet points I'm going to hit. So here we go. What did Jesus do? For my Christian family? My parents are here. So Jesus Christ put Christian folks in my life from the get-go. My parents, all these people over here. All these people over here are great Christian folk, but they're not perfect, and they make mistakes, and they may do everything great, all the time, but they were there for me to show me Christ through their love, and that's my parents, my siblings who aren't here right now, grandparents, the past, aunts and uncles, and loaded cousins and kids and grandkids, all the stuff like that. So the next bullet, so my knee surgery, and when I was 16 years old, played some football, hurt my knee. Ended up back then reconstructive surgery, so it took 5 days in the hospital. So what did Jesus do there? He kind of humbled me there because football was my focus and took me from thinking that that's all it is. And sitting there 5 days in the hospital, my mom would come and visit every day. I was in Mason City, but my aunt and uncle, Rod and Linda, came and visit with their son, Roy. And that letter that And Jesus Christ then had inspired my aunt, nudged her to write me a personal letter that said, you know what, Mike? Jesus Christ can be your best friend, and he'll never let you down, and you have total reliance on him. And so that was a thing that I held true. I always remember that. Next bullet point is ISU. I was at Iowa State University studying engineering, and my sister is accepted Christ real early and is... She is awesome, and she just has always inspired me. And she always, even when I was in college, would write me letters. And I thought, you know what? I need to learn more about Jesus. Here I am learning all about engineering and studying all these hours, but I don't know all about my faith, and I need to know more about him. So every day since then, maybe not every day, but nearly every day, I read the Bible and try to learn what I can to become more like him. The next bullet is the Iowa Walk to Emmaus. My dad here, he had my brother and I go to that. It's a Christian leader retreat. And, Jim and I, we didn't really want to go at first, but we ended up going. So I was 27, he was 29. And so I once again, I was able to see Jesus Christ as my personal savior. I came away from that stronger with that and my best friend. And Jim had a real good emotional response there. 2 years later, Jesus took him home. Don't know why, but we'll be able to see him later because he's there. The next bullet is Kurt Warner. If you can see behind me, there's a little Ram guy there. I'm a Ram fan. And so Kurt Warner was a Christian dude, so Jesus Christ brought him into the Ram organization to get us a Super Bowl win, in my mind. And so we have, but honestly, he was always about, putting glory where it needed to be, where Jesus Christ. And so he wrote this book afterwards, and he wrote this book called All Things Are Possible. It's published in about August 2000. I don't know the exact year I read it. I think Dad read it first, and then he said, oh, this is a good book, so I read it. Well, the last page Kurt Warner has in this book, it has a part where he talks about, you can pray this prayer. It says, Lord Jesus, you know everything about me. Please forgive me for all the wrong things I've ever said or done. I know that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Please come into my life and be my Lord. Help me to follow you always. Amen. And that was from Romans 10, 9 through 10, but he paraphrased it. And so that was the first time I ever prayed that prayer, and I remember that, and then, there's just kind of progression, learning more about Christ. The next bullet is my wife and I, we did a leadership for a United Methodist youth group in our little church, and if you recall, my brother passed away earlier, and so I always had an urgency to let them know about accepting the gift of Jesus Christ offers. But you need to take that decision now, folks. You got to think about that in your heart. You don't know. You're not going to leave this earth. Your body, you're going to die, I would think, anyway. Everybody else has, except Jesus Christ. So with that being said, you need to, the things that we tell our youth group is that's the biggest decision you're ever going to make, is whether you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The second one is not as big but meaningful, is your happiness is based on who you pick, and I picked a winner. So picked a winner here. So God put Diane in my life. I picked her out when I was 5 years old and spotted her, and she's the one I married. So why am I giving my testimony now? So I work for a power company, and I realized that, here I am, I'm all about this power company and power supply, and if there's a big rich dude, that, or not big, but a rich man that owns the thing, Warren Buffett, and I always thought if he would call me on my company phone or whatever, I would be able to answer him anything about electric power supply. But, I wasn't that well prepared how to share the gospel to explain the joy in my heart. If anybody, that's more likely to happen. I don't think Mr. Buffett's going to call me anytime soon. So the folks that, my family, my friends, all you folks, if you had ever asked me, was I prepared? And that's why this is the first time I've ever written a testimony, and took a lot of thought into it, and it was a bit longer, and I shortened it. And I know I need to keep going.
You're fine.
So does this mean that I do not have bad times? I have times when I'm a grumpy Christian. My family can account for that. I still struggle with sin daily. I still do, but I trust Jesus is there. He humbles me when I get prideful, and that happens a lot. I repent and ask him for help daily. So with that, why is a long-time professing Christian getting baptized now, you may ask? Not for the membership. The church, I'm not a member yet. Maybe they won't let me in after this. Not sure. not to check a box, and certainly not for salvation, as Greg mentioned. I am doing it to publicly proclaim that I am a Christian, and that I am absolutely certain. So I've been an analyst in years past, and you would never say that as an analyst, because you'd always have to have a little doubt. But this is no doubt. I am absolutely certain I will go to see Jesus in heaven when my life here ends.
Amen. Amen. Good job, buddy. John Daniel. I think last time we had a lawyer, now we got an engineer. We're going to have some serious speakers here. John, come on up, buddy. There you go, my man.
Oh. Some of you don't know who I am. I've been coming to High Point for about 6 months, so I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a husband, a father, a son, a brother, a friend, a butcher, a sports fan, a music lover, a neighbor, and many other things. But most importantly, I'm an imperfect sinner who was saved by my faith, trust, and belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and all the world so that I may have eternal life with God in heaven, a free gift that I'm undeserving of, but so thankful to be a part of the body of believers of Christ.
Amen.
People placed in my life have encouraged, taught, and led me to understanding that it's a personal belief and faith, not anything anybody else can do for me. First, my parents introduced me to church. I count myself very, very lucky that I was born and raised in a church with such strong gospel-centered preaching from Pastor Homer Larson. Without the gospel, we as believers are nothing. My dad and I actually were on the phone the other day and talking about this verse because he was the first one that taught this to me. But John 3:16 and 17 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whomever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I'd venture to say a lot of you in this room know that verse, but I didn't think too much about that verse until I became a believer myself, and what an amazing promise that is to us as believers. Mm-hmm. As I grew older in the Lutheran church, you go through confirmation from 7th through 9th grade. I was lucky enough to have Dan and Nancy Dreyer as my confirmation teachers all 3 years. Yes, they taught us the Lord's Prayer, the books of the Bible, the Apostles' Creed, the theology, and all the other things that are outlined in the curriculum. But most importantly, they challenged and shared that we are only saved by our personal faith and belief in Jesus' death and resurrection. I'm not saved by knowledge and rule following. I'm justified and right with God through Jesus. A lot of people know the rules, but they don't know God. My confirmation verse, Romans 5:1, has been important to me for many years now. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took my sin on the cross to pay my debt, so that I have peace with God. The comfort I find in that promise helps me in my daily walk because I know I sin and fall short. But Jesus took that sinful nature upon himself so that I'm right with God. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I realized from my younger years I was being led to and fed the teachings and gospel truth of Jesus by others, but yet to declare myself a believer. And I wanted that personal relationship with God, to know him, serve him, because I believed the gospel and needed that saving grace. Taking that step in my life at 15 to 16 years old changed me. I found it easy to rejoice in all the good God had placed in my life. When everything is going good in my life, I find it easy to worship, pray, give thanks, and share the good news with others. But I didn't realize until my senior year of high school how it's not just the good, but the struggles, the adversities, and trials where we also need to find the joy and hope and promises of our faith. My senior year of high school, I faced tragedy and adversity for the first time in my life as a believer. I had a family member attempt to take their life. I found them, saved their life, but I didn't know how to handle that situation after the fact. I thought selfishly, why, God, would you let this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Did I not believe enough? Do you not love me? All things that were immature on my part as a believer. James 1, 2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Why was I not rejoicing during this time? Because I was acting as if I was going to solve this hurt and pain on my own, not with God's help. So sitting in a psych ward at a hospital with Pastor Larson, my father, and my brother, he shared 1 Peter 5, 5-7 with us, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. God was waiting for me to realize that I was a fool for trying to solve the feelings and situations I was dealing with on my own. If I'm not willing to give everything to God, my joys, my hurts, my struggles, my successes, I'm not whole as a Christian. Faith isn't something for me to celebrate only in the good times. It's for me to delight in all the good, bad, beautiful, or ugly. That time in my life taught me to see the whole picture, not just the slice of joy God provides for me, but that God will wrap his arms around me and carry me through because of my faith and trust in him. Because of that moment in my life, I was able to share my faith and testimony at our Good Friday service my senior year of high school. It's where the seniors who are believers talk about with the last words of Christ. I was able to share with on Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Forsaken means to be abandoned and deserted. Even Jesus felt that feeling when he took on flesh to do the work of his Father. But the truth is, God doesn't abandon us or desert us as long as we put our faith and trust in the promise he's made to us of Jesus dying for our sins. For me, it's key to remember when things aren't going right or I'm struggling, I'm not alone as a child of God. Lifting up prayers, digging deeper into the world, and realizing that I'm fully reliant on God for all things, and that he isn't going to let me live my life on my own, helps me to strengthen my faith. So after I left Cedar Falls, Iowa after college to pursue my career, I found myself, for the first time in 22 years, not having a home church. Tried to find a church in each new city I went to, finding churches not gospel-centered, the wrong denomination, not welcoming, or finding myself feeling like I didn't belong there, or really whatever insecurity or excuse I was making up to myself. I never stopped believing, but when I wasn't connected to a body of believers, I was missing something. I didn't find that encouragement that you find in a church family and your brothers and sisters in Christ. So as I drifted without a home, it felt like nothing. It felt like I was drifting and not leading my family like I should have been doing. I was driving up to visit my mom in the hospital, and I was listening to a sports podcast. And all of a sudden, that sports podcast ended, and I don't know if you want to call it AI or some algorithm, but some might say divine intervention. And all of a sudden, in Christ alone, this beautiful Celtic version of that worship song started playing. So God saying to me, get your act together. I wasn't lost, but I wasn't doing the things I should have been doing in my faith walk as I was professing to be a believer. I needed to have an active more faith, not one that struggled to show that I was a believer. A key verse in that moment in my life was John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The devil was working to keep me out of church and preventing me from having the full life that God promised for me. So within that time, we were asked to be in a small group on a Sunday nights, the church plant that was trying to start in Des Moines. The church never got planted, but that time got my faith and spiritual walk back on track. So one day, my wife said to me, as we live right across from the Highway Point property, why don't we try going there? So that's how I ended up here today. Today, I learning more about his word and being more committed in my daily walk, each day realizing that I desire to be used by Christ. It's made me a better husband, a father, a son, and a boss. Diving into the word, celebrating the joys and the hurts, and sharing my faith with others has opened doors that I didn't realize could be opened until I desired to have my life used that way. Watching those around me, especially my family, take steps in their faith has been a blessing bestowed on me by God that I appreciate more and more each day. So why do I get baptized today? I was baptized twice as a kid because they thought I was going to die, so they had me get baptized at the hospital. The hospital thought they should call the rabbi because of my last name, but I got a hold of Pastor Larson. I was baptized at the hospital and then again at the church after I was healthy. So in that moment in my life, I think back about that, and I think about Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. To me, a believer's baptism is important because it's my declaration that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and am saved by his dying on the cross for my sins. So today I stand before you, a repentant, confessed sinner who is saved by the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Good job, buddy. You're first.
All right.
You got a towel? Okay. Testimonies. Amen. Praise God for those testimonies. Amen. Perfect. All right. John, based on your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ alone by his death, burial, and resurrection, it is a privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you go. Praise the Lord. Mike and Diane. You're first. You want your glasses on or okay? It is. I don't know how you want to sit forward, unless you can, unless you're super flexible. If it's up to you. Diane, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it is a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all right? I did not drown her. I guess it is kind of like drowning, isn't it? But now you're alive. All right, Mike. Feels good, doesn't it? Thank you, Jeff Johns. Mike, based on your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ alone for by his death, burial, and resurrection, it's a privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yep. There you go. You can walk right behind there and they'll get you all dried off. Praise the Lord. Nicole and Danielle. You got some music to come up to. Praise the Lord. I'll let you jump in. Nicole, based on your testimony of saving faith, also of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, it is a privilege, my sister, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You got it? She gets both of them?
No.
All right. Yeah. Daniel, based on your testimony as well of saving faith in Jesus Christ alone for your soul, it's an absolute privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you are, my man. Why don't you give everyone a round of applause? Music, guys, you can come on up. We're going to have one final song. But just to remind you once again, Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." The invitation that each of those individuals gave was of the saving faith that Jesus offers you. By his death, burial, and resurrection, he offers you eternal life, the greatest of all gifts. And my prayer is that you would listen. And if you have any questions, go talk to any one of those, because they have written out a testimony. You engineers, you know right where to go to for some of you. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you for standing up here and declaring what Christ has done for your soul.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you. God bless each and every one of them. Next week, we have six more testimonies of God's saving work in individuals and a public declaration. So you won't want to miss that either. Why don't we stand? And I'm going to pray. If you get an opportunity, please go and encourage each and every one of those individuals. If you have any questions, and if you'd like to come speak with me also, I'd love to talk with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, we thank you for each of those testimonies, the work that you have done in their lives. And Lord, I pray that it would impact every individual in this room. Those that know you, that we're not ashamed. Those that don't know you, that they may understand the gift of salvation and receive by repenting and turning to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh God, do your work. We have much to be thankful for it's in your precious name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.